Well, good morning again, church. I'd like to spend some time, at least this month, in the book of Ephesians. I want to talk this morning about spiritual blessings in Christ. The text will be out of Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 10. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things to him, or in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's the truth. Father, I pray that you will bless us and encourage us with these texts that we're going to be looking at. I'm so thankful, Lord, that because of your love that you provided this for us, and it's not anything that we can claim that we have earned it. And I just ask a blessing on those who are here. Bless those who couldn't be here. Bless those who are sick among us, those who have had surgeries and they're healing up, and I just pray that you will strengthen them. I pray for those who have lost loved ones, Lord, that you would comfort them with the fellowship of your spirit. You can touch our hearts where nobody else can. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. No less than 14 times in these seven verses, Paul stresses in him, in Christ, according to his will. Sometimes I think as Christians, we tend to forget that, especially after we've been in the church for a while. We begin to think that within ourselves, you know, that we're good enough within ourselves. I know that because I've talked to Christians over the years, and they can become very judgmental and critical. And they'll point to a brother or sister maybe that's struggling with sin, and they know about it, and they want to pass a judgment, a criticism on them. And if they were really saved, this wouldn't happen. If they were really saved, they wouldn't have done that. How could they do something like that? And I always tell people, and I have to remind myself, number one, you're not the judge. You won't stand before Rick Johnson on the day of judgment. You'll stand before the Lord. He's the only one qualified to judge. Now, we can judge sin. We have the right, God-given right. We have the word to support it. That we can call sin, sin. Living together outside of wedlock is a sin. It's known as fornication or immorality. Homosexuality is a sin. Lying is a sin. Stealing is a sin. And we could go on and on and on. We have a right to judge sin. And I hear many churches today, ministers have quit preaching the gospel. They like to tell little stories and anecdotes that make people feel good about themselves. And there was one I heard of the other day, and I was a little shocked. Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son. You know, he talks about we need to welcome the homosexuals into the church in hopes that they be saved. I don't have a problem with that. But if you welcome them into the church and you don't call sin, sin, that I got a problem with. Because you are giving them the delusion. There was one pastor they named, I can't think of his name, is an active member of the LGBTQ whatever else it is. And he is an active homosexual. And he gets up and preaches and tells people, you're going to heaven. That's because they have quit preaching the word. They're worried about getting along with the world. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. We're going to see that today. I'm not meaning to get off in this long spiel. What I'm trying to say is, Christians, I don't have a right to judge. I don't have a right to say that person can never enter the kingdom of heaven. I remember hearing about a Satanist that got saved, and one brother told me, no way, Satanists can't get saved. Really, are you Jesus? What do you mean Satanists can't get saved? Nothing's impossible for God, but it's all God. Okay, that's what Paul's talking about this morning. He started out by saying God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. Do you understand we're in a spiritual war, church? I remember a bully one time that was picking on me, and he decided he was going to fight me, and I was being a pacifist in those days. I'd saw it in a movie, and I was impressed with it, and I thought, I'm going to be a pacifist. That pacifist is totally nonviolent. And I said, I'm not going to fight you. And he was rolling his sleeves up, and he said, you'll fight me here, or you'll fight me outside or over there, but you are going to fight. And I said, no, I'm not. Put my hands in my pocket, and he beat the tar out of me. Sometime later, I worked at a factory that he worked at, and he brought that up, and he said, why did you take that beating? I said, I was a pacifist. What? Well, what's that? And I explained it to him. He goes, well, are you still a pacifist? I said, there's not a pacifist bone in my body. You want to whip me, you better bring a sack lunch, because you're going to be there a while. Now, we are in a war, church, and you can't opt out of it. That was my point of that story. You can't opt out of it. We have a very real enemy. Jesus said he's here to kill, steal, and destroy, and the warfare that we fight is spiritual. Whether you believe that or not, the Bible points that out. So God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. These are things that you and I cannot attain to on our own. We can't earn them. There's no way. It's God's grace that he has decided to give us this. He is equipping us for a war. And if you've ever been oppressed at times by the enemy, and you want to throw your hands up and quit and just say, I can't take this, God. I can't take any more of this. God's the one, through the Holy Spirit, that gives you and I the strength to stand. He gives us the weapons that we need for this warfare, or we would get gut stomped into oblivion. I believe that with all my heart. These things are out of our reach. I can't be good enough to attain them. We just come out of talking about grace versus law. And there's still people that think that they got to prove to God they're good enough to be saved. They're not like other people. I don't smoke, drink, or chew, or run with those that do. You can tell I'm a Christian. You can have all those attributes and be just as lost as a ball in tall weeds, church. You can look good on the outside and have a heart just as black as a millstone. And you need salvation. And once we come to Christ, it doesn't end there. God's not done. He wants to mold us and shape us into the image of his Son. And that's a consent of my will and yours. We have to say yes. We can say no. But we have to say yes, Lord. Spiritual gifts are not spiritual blessings. That's what I hear a lot today. It's a sensationalism in some churches. Well, sure, I got the Spirit. You want to hear me speak in tongues? No, I couldn't understand what you're saying anyway. You know what proves you have the Spirit? You live a life of love. Love for other people. You won't attain that by joining a certain church or a certain organization. You can't get these blessings by joining a certain organization. The Bible says that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose us. We didn't choose him. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. Don't shut me out and think, oh boy, I know where he's going with it. But that is a true statement. God chose us. Do you remember before you came to Christ, was he dogging you? I'm using terminology from my gender. Was he on your heels? Was he dogging you? Was he nagging at you? Well, I hope so. I was in deep sin, church. I was into the drugs and the sex and all that. Deep sin. Deep, dark sin. And I kept running into Christians every time I'd go to town. And they'd want to talk about Jesus. I didn't want to hear about Jesus. I didn't want to think about Jesus. The things I was into, you didn't want to think about Jesus when you was trying to do these things. I call that dogging. God was looking for me. I wasn't seeking him, but he sought me out. That's what Paul's saying. Before he created the earth, God had the plan of salvation already in place. C.S. Lewis was an apologist. He was an atheist professor at Cambridge. And he said that he got to thinking, how can people believe in such a good God when there's so much evil? And he said, one day it hit me, where did I get my concept of evil? If there is no good person, a good God, or intelligent being. And he started researching different cultures, and he found out across the board, all cultures have basically the same morals, like murder's wrong. We all agree with that. And he said, we all agree that there is right and wrong, and it's within us, this sense of right and wrong. And he said, I begin to think, where did we get that? We didn't make it up as we go. And the last book he read was the Bible. And by the time he finished reading the Bible, he called out on the Lord and called out upon Jesus Christ, and he became one of the greatest Christian apologists that ever lived. And Lewis said he believed that when God created all things, including the man and the woman, he knew what was going to happen. And he said it amazed him that God went ahead and did it anyway, knowing what it was going to cost. So before he ever laid the foundations of this world, he already had a plan in place. Now, the Calvinists say that the saved and the damned are preordained. God decided before he ever created you whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. I don't believe that. What I do believe is God decided before he ever created us, these people are going to sin, they're going to fall, and there's only one way they're going to get back to me, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through what my son does, the blood that he was shed on the cross. Paul said that God has ordained, preordained, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Holy means that it means to be set apart for a special purpose, a holy purpose, God's purpose. Blameless means that God considers us righteous, in right standing with him. And again, I'll tell you, you can't earn that, and neither can I. I'll never be good enough to be holy. I'll never be good enough to be righteous. That is done because God has granted that, and my part and your part is to obey him, to obey what he says. Does he make a change in your life? Yeah, I hope he did in yours. He did in mine. The night I came to Christ, something happened on the inside of me, and I knew it. I don't have the zeal I had when I was a young Christian, and I miss that. But I guess it's like kind of like a marriage. You get settled into it, and you still love your spouse. It's just not like it was, you know, the first couple of years of marriage when you just infatuated with them. When you get a little older, you still love them, but you're not as infatuated. I'll stop there before I get in trouble. Jesus prayed that he said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in truth, or made holy in the truth, set apart in the truth. We're in a spiritual war. Jesus, when he went back to heaven, he didn't say, okay, read your Bible, go to church two or three times a week, just try to do the best you can. What'd he say? He said, go out and make disciples. And every time we do something God has told us to do, that we will meet resistance and opposition. And hence, we need these spiritual blessings that God decided because of his own will that he was going to give to us. We don't earn them. What do I mean by that? A lot of people read the Bible like this: repent and be baptized, for all have sinned and fallen short of the assemblies of God. What are they saying? Well, it depends where you go to church. If you're really set apart, really sanctified. You don't earn it by that. Is church important? Yes, church is the body of Christ. How come so many people over the centuries have attempted to malign the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus isn't enough, you got to join our group? I had a Jehovah's Witness tell me that one time. I said, well, what do I got to do to be saved? I was already saved, but I wanted to hear his. He goes, well, you need to be baptized into our organization. Really? And that saves me? Well, yeah, yeah. And you sell books and go around and knock on doors. And I said, buddy, Jesus Christ is what saves you. Well, we believe in Jesus. I said, you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. We do too. We believe he died on the cross for our sins. And we appreciate that. I said, then what do we do to be saved? Well, you got to be baptized into our church. See what I'm saying? You go completely around Jesus. Mormons do the same thing. Well, Jesus and Satan were brothers. And God asked for a plan of salvation. Jesus came up with a better one, so Satan got mad and left. Jesus is our Savior. Is he a God? Oh, he's one of many gods. God said in the Scriptures, there's only one God that I know of, and it's me. So see, what are they doing? They're trying to say, well, in order to be saved, you got to join the Mormon church. And then hopefully you get into one of the three levels of heaven. Most people's going to the first, but if you're a good Mormon, you'll get to the second and third. If you make it to the third, you get to be a god. See, they believe there's millions of gods. What does the Bible say? There's only one. Why do people do that? Because they want what they want. They don't want to understand that God's salvation is a gift from him that he chose to give us. In order to control you, they have to tell you, you do what we say, you go to this church or you're not going to heaven. And they're not the only ones. I've talked to Baptists that believe that. I heard a Baptist evangelist one time said, I really believe that if you're not a Baptist, you don't have much chance of going to heaven. Wow. I thought, well, there's one of them. You don't take away from what Jesus Christ has done. A lot of men call themselves prophets that are not prophets, and I believe in the gifts of prophecy. What Moses say, if any prophet speaks anything in the name of the Lord that does not come to pass, they are not a prophet. That includes, to me, the plan of salvation. Anyone claiming to be a prophet says, you got to join our group, you got to be baptized into this church, or you're not going to heaven. Run from them like you would a cottonmouth snake. It's all God. This is what Paul's saying in this letter. I said no less than 14 times in 7 verses, Paul said it was God's will. It's in Christ. It's because of God's love. It was God's predestination. You see, before we come to Christ, we're children of the devil. Jesus said that. I didn't. We're the devil's children. He said he's our father. We do the works he wants to do. And I can't argue that because I was a child of the devil in spades. Before I came to Christ. And Paul said he predestined to adopt us. Now, you know, that doesn't carry the same meaning for you and I today that it did in his day in the Roman Empire. But in Rome, the father had absolute power and authority over his children until he died. And that included, if your daddy lived to be a long, long age, he was still your boss. You might be a senior citizen, but your dad could condemn you. He could have you scourged. He could even have you put to death. If anybody left you property, it went to daddy. Didn't go to you. It was his property. He had total and complete control over your life. And in the Roman system, if you adopted a child, everything about them changed, including their last name. But any inheritance they had from that family, it was gone. Any debts they owed were wiped out. Adoption in the Roman Empire was like the old person you was ceased to exist. You became a brand new person with all the rights of that family that you just joined. And you may say, well, what rights? Roman citizens had a lot of rights that non-Romans didn't have. So it was a good thing in that sense. But the Father had total power. And when Paul says that God adopted you and I as children, that's the implication. It's not about us anymore. It's all about Him. Do you believe that all the money you got in the bank is yours or God's? Amen. It's God's. He's good enough to let us keep it. And in the law, He asked for 10%. The government takes more than that. But it becomes God's. My possessions become God's possessions. My property becomes God's property. See what I'm saying? And that's what Paul was saying to this church, predominantly Gentile church. He was explaining salvation to them. He was explaining the blessings that God poured out on us. And one of the best ways He explained it was He adopted us. We were children of sin. We were children of the devil. And God adopted us, and that person no longer exists. Praise God. I'm glad I won't stand before the throne with all the sins of my past that I'll have to answer to. I won't have to do that. That man's dead. I was buried in baptism with Jesus Christ and raised to a new life. I'm not that guy anymore. Do I still struggle with that? Yep. We talked about that a while back. Paul said we still struggle with the old nature, but you know what we have in Christ? The freedom to choose not to follow that nature. That is a spiritual blessing that God has given to each and every one of us. Boy, somebody ought to say praise the Lord besides me. Maybe you didn't live the life I did. We tend to think if we wasn't as bad a sinner as some people, then we weren't very bad sinners, but we were all heading to the same hell. So Paul said, we've been adopted. It says in Romans that He has sent the Spirit of adoption into our hearts, whereby we may cry, Abba. My understanding, that is a term of endearment, like when a child says, Daddy. We couldn't call Him Father before. Now we can call Him Father. We can call Him Daddy. All because of what He did. I feel sorry for people that say they don't believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or that we have the Holy Spirit. I had a guy tell me, well, now we have the full, complete Bible. We don't need the Holy Spirit. That's a bunch of hogwash. They had the full, complete Bible in the first century of the church. It was called the Old Testament, the Torah. That was a complete Bible, and God gave them the Spirit. That was one of the promises of the new covenant. God said, I will be in them. I will be in them. And they will be my people, and I'll be their God. Jesus said, if we obey Him, that He said, I and the Father will come and make our home in you. And then He said, the Holy Spirit will make His home in you. Father, Son, Spirit. I feel sorry for people to say, I don't believe in the Trinity. Hey, the Trinity is not in the Bible, the Word. I agree with that. But if you've ever read Scripture, you have to understand that the Bible speaks distinctly of God the Father as a person, God the Son as a person, and God the Holy Ghost as a person. Three persons, one God. The Trinity is not a doctrine of demons. It's the truth. The Holy Spirit is here to indwell God's people. God promised Him to us. That's what Greg's teaching in Sunday school. Where we've got scared of spiritual blessings is we confuse them with spiritual gifts, and the charismaniacs have scared us to death. We don't want it. I was in a charismaniac church for 2.5 years. I've seen people fall on the ground and flop around and like a chicken with their head cut off and sputter and spit like an Evinrude boat motor and tell me they were talking to God. When I left the church, I went and talked to the pastor, and we went into Corinthians. Talking about spiritual gifts. Paul's talking about there's diversity of gifts, the same Spirit. He said, do all have gifts of healing? The pastor said, no. Do all have gifts of prophecy? No. Do all have gifts of wisdom? No. I went through the list. I said, do all speak in tongues? Yes. I said, where are you getting that? Well, Paul said we speak in the tongues of men and angels. I said, he said, if we speak in the tongues of men and angels, not when. Paul said, I wished you all had tongues. But I wished you would prophesy. Which to me, Paul was saying, not all of you have tongues. You're trying to get it. It's the easiest gift to mimic, church. But that's what scares us in the Restoration Church about talking about the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, because you think, oh, you guys want me to flop around and blah, 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 you know, to prove I got the Spirit. That's not the truth at all. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is proven by love. Paul said the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The one translation, or rather Greek, said God fills us up with his love. Wow! Our problem is we don't like to let it out. We still like to love ourselves. Brother Steve made that point at the table. We still, no, that's my love. You get your own love. So the adopted person in the Roman culture had all the rights of a Roman citizen. We, as children of God, have all the rights and privileges of children of God. Paul said we're blessed with heavenly blessings in the heavenly realms. God predestined the plan of salvation. God predestined that he would adopt us as his children, that he would save us from sin, the penalty of sin. Jesus said if you sin, it's because you're a slave of sin. And he said, the slave doesn't abide in the house forever, but the son does. And if the son sets you free, you're free. In Roman culture, a father could sell his children into slavery if he chose to. Now, in the Hebrew culture, you could be sold into slavery. But have you ever heard of the kinsman redeemer? The kinsman redeemer, if you were sold into slavery because of a debt, a kinsman redeemer could be a family member, a friend. It could be anyone who had the money could go and buy you back. Paul said God planned our redemption. He had to buy us back. And the price was blood. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah. All God. God predestined our redemption. And Paul goes on to say the forgiveness of our sins. How many of you know you can't earn that? And I've seen people over the years, talk to people over the years, that you can tell that's what they're trying to do. Well, I'm trying to be a good enough person. I've asked you, do you go to church? Well, no, I just try to be a good person. Really? How's that working? Well, I'm still struggling. You'll struggle till the day you die. How are you considered a good person in God's eye? You receive what he has done for you. You believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You call out to him. You line up with God and say, you're right, I am a sinner. I'm lost, I'm undone unless you do something. That's what I prayed the night I was saved. I called out and said, God, if you don't do something, I'm done. The realization hit me like a ton of bricks. You can't be a good enough person. And I thought I was a pretty decent person. I didn't rob or steal or beat people up or things like that. But the night I came to Christ, it was like a veil was lifted off my eyes and I saw me the way God saw me. I saw it in his light and, oh, man. I said, Lord, if you don't do something, I'm gone. I'm done. And he reached out and he touched me and I became a new creature in Christ. I ain't perfect yet. That's been 42 years ago. I'm still a work in progress. But I'm telling you, something happened. And when I was filled with the Spirit, don't freak out. I didn't speak in tongues, and I've never done any miracles. But when I was filled with the Spirit, I got a revelation of Jesus Christ I'd never had. And I also got a purpose and a goal in my life. I really started feeling what God's call was in my life because the Bible says the Spirit will take the things of God and show them to you. Is that a blessing? This means yes and this means no. Yes, it's a blessing. God gives us the Spirit to enable us to fight in this spiritual war. Without him, we're going to get stomped. In Jesus Christ, Paul said we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of God's grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. Undeserved. This was God's choice. I'm going to save you. All this is in Christ. As I said, as Paul said 14 times in 7 verses, by God's grace, because of God's love in Jesus Christ, that He saved us. It's not what church you belong to, whether you play musical instruments or not, whether you use the King James Bible or not. It's in, are you in Christ? Have you ever called out on the name of the Lord and said, I'm wrong and you're right, and Lord, I need you to save me? It's all Christ. Every bit of it's been done through God. Don't wait to get good enough. I've had people tell me over the years, well, brother, I'm working on some problems, and when I get this took care of, I'll start coming to church again. That's like saying, well, I'm going to take a shower before I take a bath. And I tell them that. No, don't try to take care of anything. Bring it to church. God saves sinners. That's what He's in the business of. God is the one that was looking for us. We weren't looking for Him. God initiated this from the time of creation. You remember what He said to Adam and Eve and to the serpent? There'll be a man come out of the woman that's going to crush your head. All the way back then, God said, I already got this figured out. He told Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Paul said he didn't say seeds meaning many, but seed as in one, and that seed or person is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Don't buy that you got to belong to a certain church in order to become a Christian. But there's only one Jesus. He's not the Jesus of the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness or the Jesus of Islam or the Jesus of Buddha. Those are lies. Jesus Christ is God the Word who stepped down from His throne and became a man so He could buy us back from sin, so we could have forgiveness of sins. And it's all God's plan. Don't try to earn that. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to spend a week or two, as I said, talking about spiritual blessings. I believe too often we confuse spiritual gifts and spiritual blessings, and they're two separate things. I want to talk about the blessings that God has given us in Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never called on His name, I invite you to do that. I don't say receive Him. You have to call on Him. You have to confess to God, I am a sinner, I am a wretch, I need You. I need You to forgive me. Receiving has a whole different connotation. I don't care for that phrase. Have you received Jesus? I say, have you called on Him? Do you know that you need to be saved? That's what you got to consider.